We are glad to present your speaker, Ray Weddington.
It's been said that those that do not learn from the mistakes of the past are condemned or doomed to repeat them. And we learn this as being true at a very early age. If we touch something hot or a flame, what hurts, it burns, we don't do it again. We learn from the mistakes of the past. As we grow up, whether it's economic situations that we get into and we learn, oh, I'm not going to get into that again, or whether it's something to do with our daily life, we learn what we need to be doing and what we don't need to be doing. Hopefully, as we mature and grow as individuals, we learn from the mistakes of the past. But I'm afraid that that can't be said for our nation as a whole. We do not learn from the mistakes of the past. We, as a nation, are at a very precarious place at this point in time in our history. God has blessed this nation greatly. It was founded on religious principles. It was blessed by God. It's grown. We, as a nation, as our forefathers discovered it, we even put on all of our monies that we have and carry, the superscription, "In God We Trust." They did. We don't, as a nation. We see in this nation today that religion is made fun of as we view it on TV or in the newspapers. And those that do stand up and are religious and stands up for their convictions and for God, they're branded as right-wing fanatics. In this country today, it's all right to have an abortion, but you can't pray in school. What's wrong with this picture? This nation has gotten away from God. It was once founded in this, in religious freedom. In God we trust. All of the 50 state charters pledge their allegiance and devotion to God. The Constitution talks about our obedience and our safety under God's benevolence. If those were written today, it would not mention God. If we were to print money today for the first time, there would be those who have an uproar, and we would not mention God on our money. The nation does not want to hear it. We today as a nation are at a dangerous crossroads, and which direction we take determines, I fully believe, whether it's going to be our salvation or whether it's going to be our doom. Do we learn and heed from the mistakes of the past, or do we go on our own independent way, forgetting about God? We'll look at one nation today and see how they did given this same situation. There have been many nations who have risen and fallen, who have served God at one time and then have rejected Him. We're going to look at the nation of Israel today. We know of the history of that nation, how God led His people under Moses out of Egyptian bondage, how that He led them through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness into the promised land, how that God told them that, "I will give you this land, this beautiful land, flowing with milk and honey, but you have to go in and possess it. You have to go in and utterly drive out the heathen nations," because the heathen nations worship false gods. They worship idols. They had human sacrifices. They worshiped up earth, offered up their own children as sacrifices. He said, "You drive out these heathen nations. I don't want them to be an influence upon you." But as Israel went in and they took the promised land and they fought with the heathen, they made treaties with them. They made truces. And the heathen stayed. And the heathen influenced them. And gradually, as the years went by, the nation of Israel got away from God even more and even more. Till they totally, as a nation, as the southern and northern kingdom of Israel and Judah, they turned their back upon God. They did not want to hear about God. God, in the fullness of His time, He sent prophets unto them. He said, "You've got to repent or the nation will perish." The prophets were not listened to. We're going to look at one prophet this morning as we briefly study various verses from the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And let's see if we can learn something from this once great nation. Israel, under the reign of David and Solomon, it was the greatest nation the world had seen. It had conquered its enemies. It was the richest nation the world had ever seen. Under Solomon, they had the wisest man the world had ever seen as their leader. And they had it all. But they ultimately rejected God, and they were left with nothing. Jeremiah begins, as we look at the fifth chapter, as God is instructing Jeremiah what he must do. He says these words, "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that execute judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it." God said, you run through the streets of Jerusalem, Jeremiah, if you can find one man, if you can find one man that seeks truth, that exercises judgment, in following after my will, then I will pardon that city. But it was a fruitless endeavor. Could not find it. The people had turned their backs upon God. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. The people continued with their pretense of following after God. They offered up their sacrifices. They offered up their burnt incense. And they said, we're God's people. We're His chosen people. We're the Jewish nation. No harm can ever befall upon us because God founded this nation. God gave us this land and we'll be here forever. But they lost their faith and their trust in God. They thought that God would be with them simply because they were there. But they didn't realize they had an obligation and a duty. Though they said, the Lord liveth, they said they believed in God, yet their lies said they did not. Does that sound familiar today? We as a nation today, 90% said they believe in God. 70% they said they go to church. They say they believe in God, yet they're lies, yet they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. God had used the other nations round about them to visit punishment upon them to cause Israel to turn once again unto following after Him. But they refused. They made their faces harder than a rock. They refused to return. Therefore I said, this is Jeremiah talking, as he could not find anybody who would listen unto him, who would listen unto God's word. Jeremiah says, therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish. Maybe I haven't went to the right class of people. I'm just talking to the poor and the foolish who do not know God's word. For they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of God. I've been talking to the wrong people, right? That's what Jeremiah is saying. He said, I will get me to the great men, the prominent, the rich in society, and I will speak unto them. For they have known the way of the Lord, the priests, the Levites. Well, they were instructed in the ways of the Lord. They're the ones that taught the people. Yeah, that's who I'll go to, Jeremiah says, the great men. They have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of the God. But what did he find? But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. The great men, the priests, the Levites, the leaders in society, the wealthy, who should have known better, who should have been doing better, who should have sent the example before the people. They too have turned away from God. And God, as He is viewing all this from afar, as He sees His beloved nation that He's cherished, that He's blessed, that He's taken care of, that He's just lavished wealth upon. God says this in verse 7. How shall I pardon thee for this? How can I overlook it? How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods, their heathen worship that they offer sacrifice and devotion to. When I fed them to the full, they then committed adultery. We're talking about spiritual adultery. And assembled themselves together by troops in the harlots' houses. As God blessed them more and more, they turned more and more away from Jehovah God. Does that ring a bell today? As we're blessed even more and more, it's in time of want and need. That's when we turn to God. But when we're wealthy and prosperous and have all, God, God, who or what is God? It happened in Israel, and it's happening today. God says, verse 9, shall I not visit for these things? Shall God's wrath not come upon the nation for these things? for their spiritual adultery, their worship unto idols, for the people turning away from God? And shall not my soul be avenged on this nation as this? Should God is asking this rhetorical question. Should I not be avenged? Should I not visit my wrath upon this nation for all that they have done? In verse 20, he tells Jeremiah to say these words, declare this unto the house of Jacob, and publish it in Jacob, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me? God said, do you not even fear me anymore? I am Jehovah God, the creator of the universe. I brought you as a people out of this land. I separated the Red Sea, the Jordan. You crossed over into the promised land. I was with you as handfuls of your army defeated hundreds of thousands of the other armies. And yet do you not fear me? Do you not believe what I'm saying unto you? What is going to happen to you? Saith the Lord, will you not tremble at my presence? God said, how can you do this? You as a nation, do you not believe in God anymore? Do you not fear me? Do you not tremble at my presence? The Israelites didn't. They didn't believe God anymore. They didn't want to hear His word. They didn't fear Him. They didn't tremble. We as a nation today don't either. We don't fear God. We don't tremble at His presence. We don't believe His words. And God's saying, this is what I've done, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual degree, that it cannot pass it. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. God has formed and set everything in motion, even the shoreline, the waves, how that it stays within the ocean. But this people has a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone, far from God. Neither say they in their heart, this is what they don't say. This is what they should be saying, but they don't say. Let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain by the former and the latter in His season. He reserveth us, unto us, the appointed weeks of the harvest. They should be saying this. They should be saying, we should have devotion and allegiance unto God, who gives the rain, who blesses us, that our crops and our harvest may be full and boundless. But He says, you do not. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. I could even bless you more as a nation, God's saying, but your sins and your iniquities keep me from doing this. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that set a snares. They set a trap that catch men. They catch men by their own devices. They're wicked, they're evil. They're far from God and they want others to be like them. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. These men who are blessed by God, who seemingly have everything, and yet they're full of evil. They become great men. In fact, rich men. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. The deeds that in the past they said, oh, this man is so wicked, you cannot get worse than him. And they had even gotten more wicked still than their father's generation. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. Those who are helpless, the poor, the indigent, the fatherless, the homeless, they were just overlooked by society as a whole, but because there was no compassion. Those that had wealth, those that had position, those that had power, well, they got it and they wanted to keep it for themselves. This is how it was in Israel. There was nobody to stand up for the poor and the needy. God saying again, shall I not visit for these things? Saith the Lord, shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Shall I not bring punishment on such a nation as this that will allow these things that could come to pass? As God is looking at the earth at that moment in time, He said a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. And this is not wonderful as it's beautiful and awe-inspiring. It's wonderful as it's an astonishing thing. Something astonishing and horrible and filthy is committed in the land as God is viewing it. This beautiful land, flowing with milk and honey, is now flowing over with wickedness. The prophets prophesy falsely. Whatever the people want to hear, hey, the prophet's going to tell it to them. They don't want to hear about God. They don't want to hear about God's retribution. So the prophets prophesy falsely. And the priests bear rule by their means. Do they tell the people God's word? No. If you pad their pocket right, they will also say what you want to hear. The prophets and the priests have gone away from God. And how about the people? What do the people think about this? And my people love to have it so. They couldn't be any more tickled. They loved it. They didn't have to hear anybody preaching hell and brimstone, fire and damnation to them. Nobody was telling them to repent. Everybody was saying, oh, ain't we got it made? We're great. Hear that from our politicians today. Oh, we got it made. It's great. We're prosperous. We've got all the wealth. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is way up here. Our economy is here. Our inflation is low. Unemployment is low. We've got it made. It's great. But who is preaching about our spiritual poverty? Who is preaching about the decadence of mankind? The people love to have it so, and we do too. And what will ye do in the end thereof? What will you do when everything that you placed your faith and your hope and trust in comes crashing down? What will you do? The sixth chapter, verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? As God is looking at his people, as Jeremiah is saying this, were they ashamed as the people were looking at their wicked lives round about them? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. It's inherent within the human nature when we do something wrong or embarrassing that we blush. They had so degraded themselves that they couldn't even blush. They couldn't even be ashamed at what they did. Such was their decadence. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I will visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. The time of punishment would be at hand. Thus saith the Lord, stand you in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. This is what you got to do, Jeremiah. I want you to get out there among the people and you tell them just to turn back to the old paths. The old paths of following after God's will. Where is the good way and walk therein? Tell the people, that's the good way, the old path, the walk therein. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, the people, we will not walk therein. Jeremiah, you can preach and you can cry all day, but we're not going to walk therein. God said also, I set watchmen over you, over the nation of Israel. I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet, the various prophets and the proclaimers of God's word. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. God's about to make a declaration here. You won't repent, you won't receive my word. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. They would not listen. They did not want to hear it. They totally rejected. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from far country? All the Jews, they went to great expense. They brought incense and sweet cane to burn on their sacrifice, on their altars, in their devotion unto God. They thought that would be pleasing to God. That's all they had to do. Look at what all the trouble and the money we spent for these sacrifices we're offering to God. God's saying, your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. I don't want what you have to give me. I don't care about the incense, the sweet cane, what it's cost you, because you're not sacrificing your lives. They are not acceptable unto me. And in chapter 7, verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you Judah, that enter in at the gates to worship the Lord. God is saying, you got to tell Israel now, Jeremiah, I'm going to punish this nation, but I'm going to give them every chance to obey. Every chance. Though they have turned their back upon me, although they have rejected me, I'm going to give them every chance. Tell Judah this. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. It is not too late. Amend your ways. Come back unto me, and I will see that you dwell in this place. Trust you not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. They place their faith in the temple. The people had this mistaken idea, but, well, this is the temple of God. This is the temple that Solomon built. Look how beautiful it is. And surely God wouldn't destroy his own temple, would he? Yes, he would. They placed their trust in a materialistic thing, in the temple of the Lord. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you come back unto me, God says, if you thoroughly, and this is thoroughly and completely, not just in saying so, but if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not a stranger, the fatherless and the widow, you shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods in your heart, see what all they had done, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave you to your fathers, forever and ever. They just had to come back and they could keep the land. They would not be driven from it. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not? Will you do this thing? Yes, the people will. And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name. You'll do all this thing. You'll commit all these sins. And then you'll come together in this house, this temple. This is called by my name, Jehovah God. And you will say, we are delivered of all these abominations. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. He had seen the people transgress. The people had come before as they gathered together in their unrighteous assemblies, and they offered up their unacceptable sacrifices and their incense. But God said, until you change your lives, your worship is not acceptable. But go you now into my place, which was at Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. The tabernacle there at Shiloh, the people had faith and trust in that God would not be destroyed, and yet it was. God said, if you don't think I'm going to destroy this temple, Solomon's temple in Jerusalem, you've got another thought coming. Look what happened at Shiloh. And now, because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not. I gave you a chance. I used my prophets as they came unto you. They'd come early in the streets, in the assemblies, and they begged you to repent, but you heard not. And I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave to you, and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And that became a desolation. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all of your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore, pray not thou for the people, neither lift up cry nor prayer to them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Jeremiah, I don't want to hear, God saying. Don't cry for this people. Don't make intercession for them. Don't pray for them. You're wasting your breath and you're wasting your time, because I'm not going to hear it. These people have totally, by their lives, rejected me. And I will not accept or listen to any cry to be lenient upon them. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? Do you not see what is going on around you, Jeremiah, within the streets of the very capital city of Jerusalem? Why, even the children gather wood and the fathers kindle the fire. And what do they do as the children gather the wood and the fathers make the fire? And the women knead the dough. What do they do with this? They make cakes to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Even got the little children, the whole families, they get together, they gather the wood, the sacrifices, they make the dough, and their offerings and their obligations unto their false gods that they worship. created with human hands. Does that provoke God to anger? Yes, it does. God said in verse 25, "Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants and prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. From the time you came out of Egypt till you settled here in the promised land, I tried to instruct you. I tried to teach you. I sent my prophets. I sent my teachers. They rose early in the day and preached to the people to remain straight, to on the old paths, to do what is right. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their necks. They did worse than their fathers. As time got on, the people did not even want to hear God's words. Their sins and their before Jehovah God were worse than their fathers were. They did not learn from the past. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken." Jeremiah, still going to give them a chance. "I still want to save this people. I love this people. I do not want to see any perish, but all will come to repentance." That was God's will then. It's God's will for mankind as well today. Jeremiah, you're going to speak. You're going to give them every chance. But they will not hearken. "To thee, thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee." You're going to do everything I know is humanly possible to get my message to the people, but it's going to be no good. They will not hearken. They will not answer. And in verse 28, these very sobering words, "But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth instruction or correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. As a nation, they were condemned. This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord." This is a nation that did not want to receive instruction or correction. Truth was perished and is cut off from them. We know the ultimate end in the destruction of Israel. The northern kingdom was carried away into Assyrian captivity, never to come no more. The southern kingdom, Judah, was carried off into Babylonian captivity, and then only a remnant was allowed to come back in later to the nation of Israel. And that nation never grew to what it once was, to its zenith, to its power, to its glory. Only within this century was it once again established as a nation. Up until that time, they were states of other democracies, and they were ruled by other societies. The Jewish nation did not learn. The question for us today is, will we learn from the mistakes of the past? We have a great nation. We have a wonderful nation. We stood at crossroads before within our nation. When we had to decide our freedom, when we had to decide whether our forefathers did, whether they wanted to continue to pay tribute and taxes to foreign government. We've had crossroads in our society considering social programs, but never such as this. It would be a shame to say about the United States that this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord our God. But we're going down that same path that Israel has gone. We have to think about these things, and we have to recognize them. And we have to start, each one of us, in our own hearts, that we're going to mend this. That we're going to be the people that God wants us to be, where we can be the nation that God wants us to be. For any nation is only as good and as strong and as decent as the people therein. And we have to start with each one of us. Think on these things. Decide within your hearts and within your minds to be the people that God would have you to be. Because we don't want it to be too late. As we said, God does not want any to perish, but that all men to come to repentance. As you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, confess that belief, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Or if there be those who have publicly wandered away from God and need to be restored into their first love, the invitation is extended unto you.